This is a lovely Saturday morning. The rain is falling. The sky is dark. And it's a beautiful day for being inside and just meditating on facts. This morning we had a great discussion on abstract thinking, on new math. And in our discussion we came up with some very fascinating ideas. And coincidentally, our topic for today, with the thought for today, is I like to bite off more than I can chew, and I plan more than I can do, and then I do it. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. I like to bite off more than I can chew, I plan more than I can do, and then I do it. It seems a very simple statement to make, that we bite off more than we can chew, but that's the fun of living. The fun of living is to bite off more than you can chew. Never say, I can't do it. Never say, oh, that's too much work. Never say, hey, how can I ever get the things done that I want to do, and then do that too, you know. And I say, okay, do you want to learn how to play the piano? And you say, well, I'd love to. Take 1/2 hour a day and take the piano book and sit at the piano and play, practice what the pages say every single day for 365 days, and you will play the piano. Just take a 1/2 hour dedicatedly every day at a certain time and you will play the piano. How much now do you really want to play the piano? How much now do you really want to be participating in this thing? It's a fascinating thing. Zoe, will you sit over here, please? Take a chair and sit over here. You stay right where you are. I don't want to look at a sleeping person. Now, just sit over here. Okay, now. I like to bite off more than I can chew. Now, what is it that I like to bite off? I like to take ideas and projects and things that make me happy and things that make me feel fulfilled and uplifted, because that's what life is all about. Now, someone comes to me and they say, Herb, how do you do this? How do you learn how to play the piano? And I'd say to you, you can either say, I know that I know that I know, which is super, and you can play, but that takes an advanced consciousness, and by golly, you're not an advanced consciousness. Because if you were in advanced consciousness, you wouldn't ask me the question. You'd do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. An advanced consciousness does not ask how to do it. They just go and do it. They say, I know that I know that I know, and they go and do it. Can you understand that? It is something so simple, and it indicates how intense we are about whatever we say we'd like to do. Okay. I bite off more than I can chew. Now, that's what other people think. They say, Herb, how can you do all the things you do during the day? Ellen, how can you do all the things you do during a day? You keep the books, you do this, you do that, you do the other thing. And Sylvia, she sets this all in type and gets this all ready. And yet if you say to Sylvia, it's a rush job, Sylvia can go in and have it done in no time because she cuts all the corners of doing all the extra checking and just does it and gets it out. Okay, now how can she do that? How can Ellen do that? How can I do it? Well, we don't do it. We are it. We live in the consciousness of whatever it is we're doing. If we want to typeset the information for the gist, we just pick it up. And Sylvie's always saying to me, don't give me the written copy. Give me the copy set in type already. Because then I can just adjust it and put it into my page, and I don't have to reset it all because you've already set it perfectly. You've checked it, and there's no mistakes as far as you can remember. So, and then I just do my job, which is merely a matter of adjusting the type. Now, my gosh, that's easy. Show me how to do that. And I went into Sylvia's office, and I sent her several emails which had some copy on them, and I wanted to see what the emails were. So I pressed the button, and the emails jumped up, and they were already in Quark. They jumped right into Quark because Quark was open, and Quark was ready to receive whatever came up. You better check that you don't have some stuff in there that you hadn't expected. But you see, it jumps right into it. Now, how can that be? I mean, so quick, so snappy, so wonderful. But that's the way life is. That's the way life is. When we say, I know that I know that I know, we have all the doorways open to us, all of the ways, the avenues, the techniques open to us to do this. Now, we said if you want to learn play the piano, you say, I know how to play the piano. Or you say, I will practice for a half an hour every day, and in 365 days, I will be very good at the piano. You understand? Now, it doesn't mean, oh, damn, I got to sit down at the piano. I got to take that half hour. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do it. Everybody else is going to party. Everybody else is doing everything else. And I wanted to, well, if you want to play the piano, if you want to do that for half an hour every day at the same time, say every day at 6 o'clock in the morning, you want to take a half an hour on the piano, you know, you will not create anything bothering you at that time of the morning. You will not create anything calling for your attention at that time of the morning, if you really want to do it. Now, we have the 3-hour meditation, and it's from 3 to 6 every morning. Well, can I do it from 3 to 5 or 3 to 4 or something like that, and, you know, do the whole thing in there? Sure. You can do anything you want to do. But the program that's designed for you is 3 to 6. And it's not that the program is good, bad, or indifferent. It's the program that's designed. Now, it's like saying to yourself this statement. I am going to San Diego today from Campo, which is some 45 miles or 60 miles to San Diego. And it takes me, how many gallons I get? Let's say 10 gallons. 10 gallons to the mile, 10 miles to the gallon, or let's say 20 miles to a gallon, 20 miles to the gallon, 20 miles to the gallon. Okay, so it is 2, 4, 6. I need 3 gallons to get to San Diego. So being frugal, I put in 2 gallons. And then I drive to San Diego, and what happens? 20 miles short of San Diego, I run out of gas. Now, why did I run out of gas? Because I didn't follow the rules. Because I didn't follow the program. If you want to get to San Diego, you have to have at least 3 gallons of gas in your car. And if you don't have 3 gallons of gas in your car, you're not going to make it to San Diego. And why is it we always fill up our tank when we're in town? We fill up our tank when we're in town because gas in town is $2 a gallon and gas on the mountain is $3 a gallon. And why spend an extra dollar per gallon when we don't need to do that? So, you see, we know these things. We know what we should do. We know how we should do it. And we understand this. So it's not a matter that we bite off more than we chew. It's that our mind is always logically thinking. Our mind is always consistently thinking. Our mind is always brilliantly thinking. In fact, we are not learning new math. We are using new math in every way in our life. Because we are merely thinking, now, to go to town is A, to return from town is B, and to for so many gallons of gas, that makes 6 gallons of gas. So 6 gallons of gas is A plus B, you see? So A plus B equals C. Mm-hmm. Now, what are you giving to these things? A plus B equals C, period. Every time you do it, A plus B equals C. Now, what if you take a full tank of gas? Let's say you take 25 gallons in the expedition. You put 25 gallons into the car. How many trips to town is that going to give me? Well, regardless, every time we go to town, we refill the tank. Because we don't know if we're going to be driving the car up here or going to be going some other direction or going off into the woods or something with the car, and we want to be ready. So, but you only need 6 gallons to drive back and forth to town. Why are you wasting your time putting in more? Because I know that there's this unknown here. I know there's this unknown that Ellen, in the middle of the week, she says, I am just going to take a ride. And I am going to drive around the countryside. And when I take my ride driving around the countryside, I'm going to just love it and be beside myself. And so Ellen gets in the car, and she tours around, and she's looking at all the beautiful scenery, looking at the mountains, looking at the hills, looking at the valleys, and she's out in the wastelands, way, way back in the highlands. And all of a sudden, Ellen runs out of gas. Because she has her cellular phone with her, she picks it up, and nothing happens. She says, "Oh my goodness." And then she remembers, "I will climb this mountain and then phone. It's a whole lot better than walking all the way back." So she climbs the hill, the mountain, and when she gets to the top, she has reception. And so she calls the ranch and says, "Hey, bring me some gas." "What's the matter with you?" "I ran out of gas." "Why did you run out of gas?" See, Ellen wouldn't create anyone asking any questions. Ellen would just create the people saying, "How much gas do you want?" "Well, bring me a 5-gallon can." So you go in, fill up a 5-gallon can at $3 a gallon, and put it in the car. And so you have $5 in gas that you wouldn't have had to spend if you'd put it in the car. Now, do you like throwing away $5? Do you like not going in and having a McDonald's, you know, for $5? Or I guess you can get them cheaper than that now. But of course, they look like they're cheaper than that too. But whatever is right for you. I like to bite off more than I can chew. I plan more than I can do, and then I do it. See, this is the genius that's in all of us. We plan to do more than we can do, and then we do it. It's amazing. It's amazing. People say, "Well, Herb, what would you do if you had less people working on the campus, less people to do the work?" And I say, "No problem. No problem. We would just hire someone to do a particular job, or we would just not do it at all. We would just do without it." And, "Well, Herb, well, what if you ran out of money? I mean, you know, because you're a nonprofit organization, and people think that they don't have to give any money to a nonprofit organization because they'll just use your services. And then when you're broke, they say, 'Well, that was too bad. You didn't use good judgment.' Well, we use good judgment. We let people use our services because they were ready for it, and we didn't judge them. We didn't judge them. We'd like people to make contributions and help the program, but or not help the program, but support the program. But if they don't, that's fine. Because if we run out of money, I'll retire, you know? And I'll just sit here and run an in-house church, you know? And people want to come here for services, we'll have it, and we don't have to do any advertising or anything. We just live comfortably and beautifully. Now, Herb, are you planning on going broke?" "No, I'm just telling you that nothing is important. The only thing that's important is to be yourself and have fun. And if you're going to worry about the future, if you're going to worry about tomorrow, worry about where the money's going to come from or how you can afford to do these things, Sylvia, when you go to the train depot and you want to get on the train and your ticket costs $50 and you have 10, are you going to go $10 worth, or are you not going to go?"
"I'm going $10 worth."
"Well, I wouldn't go. I wouldn't like to go $10 worth and be out in the middle of nowhere, away from my home and away from everything else. How am I going to get back?"
"I thought it was just a little..."
No. You see, that is new math. New math says, how do I get to where I'm going? A plus B equals C. And if you don't have C, then you don't go.
"Then I wouldn't go, no."
"Then you wouldn't go.
No.
Because you can walk home from the depot. But you can't walk home from $10 out." You know, that could be quite a heap. And people have no pity for you. A woman came to me in the parking lot at Henry's, now called Sprouts. And she was a very sad-looking lady. And she says, "Can you give me $10? And I said, "What do you want to use it for?" She says, "Well, I want to buy a ticket to get back to San Diego." She says, "I ended up with no money, and here I am, you know." And I said, "Well, what are you doing out here, not having planned $10 to get you back, you know?" And she says, "Well, I was visiting my friend." And I said, "Well, that's wonderful." And I said, "Now, why are you out here without having the money to get back?" And she says, "Well, I just didn't think." And I said, "Madam, Do you think I was born yesterday? No. I think you're rich, though, she said. And I said, yes, but I'm not rich because I'm stupid. I said, I know that a ticket from here to San Diego costs no more than a dollar and a half. No more than a dollar. Maybe a dollar and a half. And you want $10. Now, what you're going to do with that $10 is you're going to go buy a bottle of wine, and you live locally. You don't even live in San Diego. That's just your ruse to have people give you money and feel sorry for you. Now, you may go and play your game with anybody you wish, but please don't play it with anyone who has a half an ounce of sense in them, because they'll figure your game too. Don't do that. You see, if we just merely do whatever anybody asks us, because we have a statement here on our wall that says, you're in school, and it says you are not being tested, you are being fortified. Now, my big heart would have said, give her the 10, what the hell, let her do whatever she wants to do, it's no problem. Why? I could give the 10 to myself. I could take the 10 and go and buy some candy with it. It's a chocolate. Chocolate mousse cake. My goodness sake. Why can't I do? But I don't do that. I don't do that. And I don't do it for others either. And we're being fortified by the examples that come to us to see whether we are standing up on principle, whether we know new math and use it or not. Now, do you know it and use it, or do you know it and don't use it? Do you let your heart guide you? Do you let your emotions guide you? Or do you let your wisdom guide you? It's all up to you. You see, I plan more than I can do, and then I do it. I go out and I meet the world, and I meet the world with all of its goodness, with all of its geniuses in it, and I am not stupid. I am brilliant. I listen to my heart, and I will talk lovingly, gently, and properly with anybody who wants to present me with their world, and then I will just logically say to them, what is it that you want to do? You want to take my wallet and steal $10 and do what you want? Oh, no, 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 I would never do that. Well, getting me to give you $10 under false pretenses is the same as stealing from me. And for you to steal from me is not a nice thing at all. And of course, she walked away and her mind was going in circles, because nobody had ever expected her to be honest. Nobody had ever expected her to be truthful, because she didn't expect herself to be honest and truthful. So we can do anything. We pile ourselves up with all of the wonderful opportunities in the world, and then we find out, sure, we can do it. I plan more than I can do, and then I go and do it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. We have a handyman, and he's using our airless paint sprayer right now and doing a nice job in some of our buildings. And I said to him, and he should never have answered, but I said to him, Brian, why are you not covering the handles of the doors when you paint them? He says, oh, I can wipe that off when I'm done. And he said, it just wipes off really easily and so on. Well, now, I had handled handles that he hadn't wiped off, or he had wiped off, but they still were sticky with the paint. And he didn't get the paint underneath the little latch of the thing. He should have just taken the doorknobs right off of all the doors and then painted away to his heart's content and then put the doorknobs back, and it would have been a professional job. He covered the windows nicely, but that's good. But never argue with the boss. When the boss says, cover the handles, you say, yes, sir. But you see, I'm not the boss. Ellen is the boss. I say, Ellen, it's your responsibility to take care of all these things. It's your responsibility to do all these things, unless you don't want to do it. If you don't want to do it, you must say, I do not want to do it, and then I'll take over. But the thing is, when it's her responsibility, she is the chief executive officer, she is the person in charge of the everyday affairs and the activities and everything that everybody does. I'm only here as a pain in the neck, you know, I mean, as an advisor, if you will. But she should have told Brian, take the handles off and paint the doors. And Brian, did you take the doors off so that you painted the area of the door where it's inside of the hitch, where it's inside of the door? I was looking at Dorothea Zimmerman's home. We were standing at her door, and we took a picture of her standing in the doorway. Well, now, the inside of the door, you know, where the door closes against itself, was not painted, because somebody just painted it without touching the door, moving the door, or anything like that. And so when you open the door, here you see the back of the door is all natural wood, you know, and sloppy because the paint dripped in there. But you see, there's a way to do anything, to do it right, to do it beautifully. If you're going to take a trip to town, make sure you got 6 gallons of gas so you can get back home again. Get in there and get back home. But better than that, make sure that the tank is always full. Make sure that whenever you're given suggestions or advice from anybody, you take the suggestions and advice and don't speak up. I told Ingeborg, do not burn pine in the fireplace, and she burned pine. And I said, Brian didn't want the pine because it would make the fireplace bad, and she still burned the pine. And so finally I gave a lecture on burning pine and what it does to the fireplace chimney, and she says, all right, I will not burn pine anymore. What was Ingeborg's first response to my statement of not burning pine? What should have been her first response?
I don't. Yes, Herb, I will.
Yes, Herb, I will not burn pine anymore. Period. No discussion, no argument. What should Brian's comment be to me when I said that you didn't cover the handles before you painted them?
I will instantly do it.
I will instantly. Or even better yet, I'll take them off so that they don't get painted. But now, take Brian by the finger, by the nose, and show him when you open the door how the inside strip of the door is not painted and it looks very stupid. It'll be a different color than what he has painted it, all because he didn't take the door off. Well, you see, this is what's being a master painter. Anyone can be a dum-dum painter, and we buy him the best equipment that he can use. Let's expect the very best out of him. He's not a bad boy. He's just inexperienced in doing things perfect. And when he comes to the monastery here to work with us, everything is done perfect, right?
Yes.
So, think about that. It's wonderful. I like to bite off more than I can chew, because then I got something to chew when I'm done chewing it. I plan more than I can do, and then I do it. Have a lovely day. Keep these thoughts in mind and benefit from them for your highest and your best. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.